Shavua Tov, thank you for joining us. We were on Sadi Aleph Amud Beis 91b, dealing with the issue of when you have a box, and in the box there are lots of mustard seeds, and a person carries the box from the house to the street, but he didn't get all of the box out into the street. Most of the box made its way from the house to the street. A little bit of the box is still in the house. Is that considered hotzah? Is that considered carrying out because we look at the seeds? Or do we say agad kli, that since it's part of a utensil, we look at the utensil. And since not all of the utensil is out into the street, therefore it's not considered carrying. So we saw that this was an argument. So now we are 5 lines from the bottom on Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. Masav Rabbi Barabaye challenged the view that when you look at a box, the box is viewed as one item, and therefore the seeds, if there's a box of seeds, if not all of the box got out, even though some of the seeds got out, but there's still part of the box inside, it's not considered carrying out. So Rabbi Barabaye challenges from the following law. We know there's a concept called Kim Levid Rabmine. If a person simultaneously does an act of theft, which would normally incur a monetary penalty, you have to pay back, and at the same time he's doing an act of violating Shabbos or an act of violating Yom Kippur, which carries the death penalty, since the act gets the death penalty, it doesn't get the monetary penalty. That's the law of Kim Lebidramine. Enough for him, the greater one. So must be Rabbi Barabai, challenged it with the following question. We learned, Agonev Kispa Shabbos, if a person steals a wallet on Shabbos, Chayiv, he does have to pay. Why? Shekvarnes Chayiv Bigneva Kodem Shiyavali Dehi Yisr Shabbos. He's already in a state of having stolen something before he's gotten to the point of violating the law of Shabbos. However, says the Brisa, let's say he's dragging an item out. So on Shabbos, he's dragging an item from the public domain out into, from the private domain to the public domain, which is not his. He's dragging the wallet out. Patri is exempt. Shari Isser Gneva, because since he didn't lift the item up, the sin of theft, the Isser Shabbos, and the sin of Hotzah, of carrying from the private domain to the public on Shabbos, by and Ke'echel, are happening simultaneously. So since they're happening simultaneously, once he gets the greater penalty, the penalty of death for violating Shabbos, he doesn't have the lesser penalty of having to pay money. Now, Isaka Daidlich, if you're going to tell me, Eged Klish Me Eged, that whatever is in a utensil is considered one item. So if you have many items in a utensil, you look at the whole utensil. So then again, even when you're dragging out the wallet, Kadam Le Yisr Gnev Al Yisr Shabbos, when you drag the wallet out, the coins that are in the bag, the coins that are in the money bag, some of them got out before you got the whole money bag out. So in regards to Shabbos, since part of the money bag is still in the private domain, it's not carrying. But in regards to theft, it already is theft when some of it got out of his domain into the street. Now you've taken away his money. So the theft should have happened before, and there should be a monetary obligation. So my answer is, you're right, if a person's grabbing a money bag from the front, pulling it from its mouth, you're right. And here what is the case? The Afke Derech Shulav. He's taking the money bag out through the bottom of the money bag. So when he's pulling it out, he doesn't have access to the coins until he gets the whole money bag out. So once he gets the whole money bag out, that's when he has the access to the coins. That's when it's theft. At that point, the whole money bag is out. So that's also the same moment when it's the violation of Shabbos of taking an item out from the private domain into the public domain. So Gemara says, still, if he's taking it out through the rear, you still have the bottom of the bag. Bottom of the bag has all sorts of stitches. And you could, in theory, just widen it and get access to the coins. So the sin of theft actually happens before the sin of carrying. He could tear open the bag and get to the coins. Answer the Gemara. Benascha, we're talking about a money bag that doesn't have coins in it. But rather what the money bag has is bars of silver. So since it has bars of silver, when he's pulling the bottom of the bag and he's pulling it out from the private domain to the public domain, even if some of the bag is out, he doesn't really have access to the entirety of the silver because the silver still is partially in the private domain. So both, it's not the sin of theft when it's not the sin of carrying. Ask the Gemara, but still, kimadi kashnatsin, at the bottom of the money bag, there are these ropes to help tie it. Mapiklad puma, he could still pull the money bag out till it's opening. Vishari vishakil, and then undo the ties and take the money out. Vishnatsin agidimigavai, and these ropes are still inside. They haven't gotten out yet. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, where you look at the whole object, it shouldn't be hotza, but it should be gneva, it should be theft. Answer the Gemara, Deleka Shnatsin. We're talking about a money bag that doesn't have any laces to it to untie it. Or maybe it does have laces, but umikruche iluve, but they are wrapped on the money bag, and therefore there's no way to get all of the money bag out without the laces also coming out. And so you can only get access to the silver in the money bag once you got the entirety of the money bag out of the other guy's house. So the theft of taking the money bag out of that person's house is actually simultaneous with the prohibition of hotza'ah, of taking the item from the private domain to the public domain on Shabbos. The theft prohibition is simultaneous with the Shabbos prohibition. And that's why we have the law of kimli b'dirabni. Since he's getting the higher penalty, he is exempt from the lesser penalty of paying the money. Okay, again, we have this big argument between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. We are in Sadi Bey's Amud Aleph. We are at the fourth line here on Sadi Bey's Amud Aleph. There's a big argument when you have a box, and in the box you have little mustard seeds, and you took the majority of the box and you carried it from the house out. There's a minority of the box still in the house. Do we look at the seeds? We say, well, since these seeds stand on their own, they're fully out of the house. This was hotza, this is carrying. Or do we say, no, since the seeds are in a box, they're all connected to the box. And since not all of the box is out, there was no hotza here, there was no carrying, even though part of the box with the seeds in it is out. Rava also said, lo shanu, when do we say the law of our mishnah, that a box filled with produce is not considered hotza'a, even though most of the box is out. He said that the case of the Mishnah was a box filled with long vegetables, like cucumbers and butternut squash. But if the box is filled with mustard seeds, if the majority of the box is out, then a person is obligated. Because he holds eged kli lo shmei eged. The fact that it's all in one box doesn't mean it's considered one item. Abaya says no. Afilu mleya chardol. Even if the box is filled with mustard seeds, Potter, if you don't get all of the box out of the house, you are exempt. Because I'm a kasaver, because he holds eged kli shmei eged. The fact that it's all connected through being in one box, being in one utensil, means that it's all one item. Says the Gemara. V'kam Abaya. Then Abaya changed his mind, and he agreed b'shitase de Rava. He agreed to Rava's view that a box does not make it all considered one item. Come Rava. Rava turned around, Bishitasi da Abaye, and he agreed to the view of Abaye that a box does make it considered a single item. Asks the Gemara, Varami da Abaye, da Abaye, Varami da Rava, da Rava. We should challenge Abaye with another thing that we learned from Abaye, and challenge Rava with another thing that we learned from Rava. To Itmar, we learned Hamotzi Peros, a person who carries produce, Lirshus Harabim, from a house out into the street. We have an argument. Abaye Amar, Abaye said, Bayad, if he carried it by hand, Chayev, he is in fact guilty if he carried it by hand. Bekli, but if he carries it in a utensil and he didn't get the entirety of the utensil out of the house, most of the utensils out of the house, but a minority of the utensil is still in the house, Potter is exempt. He's exempt. Because apparently since some of the utensils still in the house, the utensil makes everything in the utensil considered a single item. And so this item is not fully out of the house. For Rava, Rava said, no, Biad, if he's carrying the fruit, the produce by hand, and his body is in the house, but the hand is outside of the house, Patri is exempt, because we say that the hand is connected back to the body. The body's in the house. But if he's carrying out produce in a utensil, and part of the utensil is still in the house, Chayiv, he's obligated, because we don't care about the utensil. We look at what's inside of the utensil. And each item is judged independently, and some of these items are fully out of the house. Says the Gemara, okay, Ipuch, we have to switch. Who said what? Ask the Gemara, how could you say this law that biyad chayiv, that if a person has produce in his hands and he takes them out, he's now obligated? I don't understand. It's against the very first Mishnah of the Masechta. Now we went to the Mishnah, first Mishnah of the Masechta. Pashat balabayis yado lachutz. If the person inside the house puts his hand out to the street, v'natala ani mitocha, and the poor person took from the hand of the rich man and put it down, oshen asan litocha, or the poor person put into the hand of the rich man, and the rich man put it down, v'hichnas, and the rich man put it into the house and put it down, shneihem p'turim, they're both exempt. So what's the case? The rich man lifted the item, put his hand out into the street. He's not yet obligated. So how could we say here, one of the Amoraim says, if you take produce, put your hand out into the street with the produce, you're obligated. But if you put the produce in a utensil, you put most of the utensil into the street, you're exempt. What do you mean? If you take produce in your hand, you put it out to the street, of course you should be exempt. That's our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no, hasam lamala mishlosha. There, when the rich man is exempt, when he put his hand out into the street, it's because his hand was above three tzvachim. Hacha, when we had the Amora say that if you take the produce out from the house to the street by hand, you're obligated, is lamata mishlosha, where the hand was within three tzvachim of the floor. So since the hand is within three tzvachim of the floor, within 9 inches of the floor, it's considered on the floor. That's the concept of lavud, and that's why he's obligated, even though the item is still in his hand, and his body is indoors while his hand is out into the street. Okay, now we're going to talk.
Do we mention the poor man here also, or that was only at the first Mishnah that we mentioned the poor
man? We just quoted the first Mishnah.
Yeah, but here we don't mention Ani.
No, we quoted the first Mishnah because the first Mishnah proves that the actions of the rich man are not enough to be obligated. The fact that he picked something up and put his hand out into the street with it in his hand doesn't yet obligate him. So that's something which is relevant to what we just said. No, our Mishnah does not mention a poor man. No. All right, next case. Talking about all sorts of unusual ways of carrying. What happens if a person carries under his armpit? He carries with his pinky. What is the definition of carrying? So the Mishnah now says like this. Hamotzi, someone who carries from the private domain to the public domain. Bein biyamino, whether he's carrying it in his right hand. Bein bismolo, or in his left hand. Betocheko, that's he's carrying it under his armpit. Oh, al kseifav, he's carrying it on his shoulders. Chayiv, he is obligated. Shekein, masa b'nei kahas. Because we learned in this week's parsha, what we just read this morning, the Nesi'im brought donations, they gave gifts. One of the things that they gave were wagons and calves to drag the wagons. And Moshe Rabbeinu gave the wagons out to the members of Levi. To Gershon, he gave a couple of wagons. To Merari, he gave a couple of wagons. And to Kahas, he didn't give any wagons. Ba'katef Yisau, because the children of Kahas, they have the privilege of transporting the vessels themselves, the menorah, the mizbeach, the Oren Kodesh. So the vessels themselves have to be carried on the shoulder. So everything in regards to Shabbos is derived from the Mishkan. So just as in the Mishkan, the Bnei Kahas were carrying things on their shoulders. The definition of carrying includes carrying on a shoulder. Says the Mishnah further, what happens if a person carries, though, kila'achar yad, he's carrying on the back of his hand. Now, that's not a normal way to carry. You normally carry in your palm. You don't carry on the back of your hand. Biraglo, he carries on his foot. Bifiv, he's carrying it in his mouth. Bimarpeko, he's carrying it in, actually, this is the armpit. Marpeko is the armpit, but socheko means inside his shirt, inside his lapel. Ba'azno, he's carrying it in his ear. Besaro, he's carrying it in his hair. Bepundaso, he's carrying it in his money wallet. Upiach lemata. He's carrying it with upiach lemata in the money wallet when the opening is down below, right? Because that's when it's open to the below. It's not a normal way to hold things. Or bein pundasa. He's carrying it between the money wallet lechaluka, between the money wallet, the money belt, and his robe. So again, it's not a normal way to carry it. Or b'sfas chaluko, he's carrying it on the hem of his robe. Or b'min alo, he's carrying the item on his shoe, b'sandalo, on his sandal. Patri is exempt. Shelo hotzi kederach hamotziin, because that's not carrying in the normal way. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Belazer. Belazer said, hamotzi masui l'malo me'asar tfachim. If a person carries a package from domain to domain above 10 tfachim, chayiv, he is obligated. Shekein masa b'nei kahas, because that's what the children of Kahas did. The members of Kahas, that group of Levim, would carry on their shoulders, and it was higher than 10 tfachim. So the Gemara says, masa b'nei kahas, minalan. How do you know that masa b'nei kahas were carrying things above 10 tfachim? Tichsev, because the verse says, the kalei achatzer, and the curtains of the courtyard, asher al mishkan al mizbeach saviv, that were around the mishkan and the mizbeach. So the fact that it connects mishkan to mizbeach tells you makish mizbeach the mishkan, ma mishkan eser amos. Just like the mishkan itself was 10 tefachim tall, af mizbeach eser amos. So too the mizbeach, the copper altar, was 10 amos tall. Now, the Mishkan Gufim Minon, how do we know that the boards of the Mishkan themselves were 10 amos tall? Because the Pasuk says, Tichsiv, Eser amos Orach HaKeresh. Each beam was 10 amos tall. Uksiv, in the verse says, Vayifros HaSa'ol Al HaMishkan. Moshe put the cover over the Mishkan. Vamar Rav. Rav explained. Moshe Rabbeinu Pirsho. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one who can do it. Moshe Rabbeinu was himself 10 amos tall. Now, an Amma, according to Rav Chaim Noah, is a foot and a half. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was 15 feet tall. So he was taller than Minute Bowl. He was the tallest. Moshe Rabbeinu was 15 feet tall. The Mishkan was 15 feet tall. And Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, could put the canopy on top of the Mishkan. I mean, kind of talamit, from here you learn that Govan Shel Leviim was also Eser Amos. That all the Leviim, the members of Moshe's group, they were also 10 Amos tall. Now, Ugmir, we know, the chol tuna de mitla bimotos, that whenever you have to carry something with sticks, so then tilsa mil el utre tilsa milatachas, a third of it can be above and 2/3 are below. So yishtakach tavi mitla tuva. So it turns out that the mizbeach was way above 10 tfachim from the floor. Right, each amma is 6 tfachim, and you have here people who are 10 amos tall. So they're 60 tfachim tall. And they're carrying things on their shoulders. So carrying things on their shoulders means that it's like 40 tfachim off of the ground. So clearly, if something's being carried, even if it itself is more than 10 tfachim off of the ground, that is still considered carrying. The Ibayah same, alternatively, I can tell you what's the source that the Bnei Kahas were carrying items higher than 10 tfachim off of the ground. Mi Aron, think about the Holy Ark. Tamar Mar, because we have a tradition. Aron Tisha, the Aron itself was 9 tefachim. Kaporas tefach, and the cover of the Aron, the kaporas, was another tefach. Hare kanasara, so the whole Aron, the whole box is 10 tefachim. Ugmir, and we have a tradition. Kol tuna demid lebimotos, anything that you have to carry with sticks. Tilsa mil el, a third can be on top. Utrei tilsa mil ra, and 2/3 below. Ishtakat lamala me'asara b'kai, so clearly the Aron itself was above 10 tfachim from the ground. So Gemara says, one second, v'ligmar Moshe. Why don't we just learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are we learning from the Levim, from the Aaron? So Gemara says, no, duma Moshe shiny. Moshe might have been different. Because we've learned, ein ashchina shora, the divine presence only resides, el al chacham, only on someone who is wise, gibor, heroic, courageous, ashir, wealthy, ubal koma, and very tall. So it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall, whereas the other Levim, they were shorter than Moshe. Amar Rav,
is this exaggerated, this height, or it's literal?
Oh, I don't know. It sounds literal, but I don't know. The Maharal usually interprets these Gemaras as allegories, but it does sound literal here. Amar Rav Mishum Reb Chiya. Rav taught a lesson in the name of Reb Chiya. Hamotzi Masui B'Shabbes Al Rosho. What's the law if somebody carries something on his head? He puts a basket on his head and he carries it out. So, what's the law? Chayev Chatas. That is carrying, and he has to bring a carbon Chatas. Shekein Anshei Hutzal Otsim Kein. Because the people of Hutzal carry in this way. So, Gemara asks, Anshei Hutzal Ruba Da'alma? Are the people of Hutzal most of the world? Ella, so the Gemara says, Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. This is the lesson. Amar Rav Mishum Reb Chiya. Rav said in the name of Reb Chiya, Echad Mibnei Hutzal Shotzi Masyo Rosho B'Shabbos. If one of the people of Hutzal were to carry a load on his head, Chayev, he'd be guilty. Shekein Bnei Ira Osin Kein. Because in his city, that is the normal way of carrying. Asks the Gemara, "V'ti batel taitz l'tzul kol adam." So why isn't he just considered, unusual? Says the Gemara, "Ali yitmar achi yitmar." If something was taught, this is what was taught. Hamotzi masi al rosho. If a person carries a load on his head, pater, he is exempt because he's not carrying in the normal way. Now turning to Tzadi Bezim and Bez. V'imtim tzolomer anshei hutzal osin kein. If you say, well, in the people of Hutzal, they do carry things on their head. But since they are the unusual, most normal people don't carry things on their heads. They don't carry packages on their heads. Therefore, it's considered unusual carrying, and one is not obligated for that type of carrying.
How tall was Paro? Because if you can imagine the scene, Moshe is so tall, and he's asking to let Bnei Israel free, and Paro must have been shorter than him.
So Ellie's asking, if Moshe Rabbeinu was so tall, what about Paro? But maybe Paro was sitting on an elevated throne. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall, it wasn't so intimidating to Paro. You know, they say Napoleon was actually very short. Sometimes people who are very short have all sorts of megalomaniacal tendencies because they compensate. They say that was about Napoleon. All right, maybe that was true about Paro also. Okay, Hamiskavi Lahotzi Lafana. Somebody has a bundle of money that's in his front, and he puts it on his front in order to carry it out. Uvalul Achrav, and then the bundle of money rolls to the back. Pater, he is exempt. Laachrav, if he was intending to carry it on the back, Uvalul Lafanav, and it ends up being in the front, Chayav, he's obligated. Because as we're going to see, when you if you're carrying money, you want it to be in the front, because if it's in the front, you're watching it. If it's in the back, it's not so well watched. Some ganav might come and take it. So if you're trying to have it in the front and it ends up in the back, that's not what you were trying to do. If you were willing to take the risk of having it in the back and it rolled up to the front, oh, certainly that is okay. Okay, next. The Emes Amru, in truth, they said, Aisha Chogeres Besinar, a woman who's wearing an apron. So Bein Milfaneh, Bein Milacharah, whether it's in front of her or if it's behind her, Chayeves, she is guilty. Shekein Ra'ui Lios Choser, because it's normal for an apron to move from side to side. Rabbi Yudom Rabbi Yudah says, Af Mekable Pitkin, the same is true with the letter carriers. So the people who take the letter carriers to bring the king's messages from place to place, that's like a woman who's wearing an apron. So he might want to have the letter, you know, the letter bag on one side and it rolls to the other side. It's still considered normal carrying. Says the Gemara, in regards to the money bag, why, if he wanted to have the money bag in the front and it ends up in the back, is he exempt? Because he didn't accomplish what he was trying to accomplish. If it was supposed to be behind him and it came in front of him, Nami also, he didn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So Amar Belazar, Belazar said, Tavri, you have to break the Mishnah. Misha Shanazu lo Shanazu. The opinion of the first line of the Mishnah is not like the opinion of the second line of the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava said, no, my Kushi, what's the problem?
If he wanted the money bag in his front and the money bag ends up behind him and he walks out,
He wanted to carry it out in a way that's secure, watching it. It ended up being carried out in a way that was insecure. So he didn't do what he wanted to do. So he's exempt. However, if he was willing to have an insecure carrying, if it ends up being in the front of him where it's a secure, this is why he's obligated. He was trying to have some minimal level of watching. Also, be other shmir mula. Now he got an even better level of watching. Certainly, he is obligated. Ella says the Gemara, my kushya, what's the problem here? To yukadumas nisin kasha. The implication from the Mishnah is the problem. We said in the beginning of the Mishnah, miskaven lohotzi lefanav, he's trying to take out the money bag with it in the front of him. Uvelo la'achav, in the end, the money bag was behind him, and he walked out, patri is exempt. So that sounds like Hala Achrav, if he wanted to have it behind him, Uvalo La Achrav, and in fact it was behind him, Chayiv, he'd be obligated. So then, but Amos Sefer, read the other line. Le Achrav, if he had it behind him, he wanted to have it behind him, Uvalo La Achrav, it ended up being in front of him, who the Chayiv, he's obligated. That sounds like Hala Achrav, Uvalo La Achrav, but if he wanted it behind him and it stayed behind him, he's exempt. So Rebbe Elazar, so in that Rebbe Elazar said, Tavri, you have to break it. The author of one line is not the author of the other line. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, no, my kusha, what's the problem? Dilma, maybe the way to read the Mishnah is Lomi Baya Ka'amar. The Mishnah is telling you a law. Some of it is simple. Some of it is novel. Lomi Baya La'achru V'lo La'achru Av D'chayev. Certainly, if he wanted to carry it behind him and he ended up carrying it behind him, he's obligated. This Avida Machshavto. That's literally what he was trying to do and it got done. But even if he wanted to carry it with it being behind him, it ended up that the kit bag with the money ended up in front of him. Even in that case, it's trichle. Even in that case, we're telling you that he is chayev. He is obligated. So the Chachamim would have thought to say, since he didn't do what he was trying to do, lo lechayev, he's not obligated. That's the novel idea. In the sky, Shmir Plusa, if someone was trying to do something which was limited watching, but also the other Shmir Ma'ula, he ended up getting good watching, Chayav, he is obligated. Says the Gemara, Ula Achrav, Uvalo La Achrav. Now, this law that if he wanted to carry it behind him, and he ended up carrying it behind him, Tanaihi, that's really Machlokas Tanaim, the Tanaim in a Braisa, Hamotzi Mos Pipundaso, if a person is carrying money in his money belt, upiolamala, and the opening of the money belt is in front of him. So chayiv, so he's obligated because if the opening is right on the top, he can watch it very well. But if piolamata, if the opening is on the bottom, so now we have an argument. Rabbi Yehuda machayiv, Rabbi Yehuda says he's obligated even though he can't watch the money so well. That's what he wanted to do, and that's the normal way of carrying. The chachamim potim, but the chachamim say he's exempt. Amar lehen Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said to the sages, "Yatzim modim, don't you agree? If someone is trying to carry a money bag on his back and it ends up on his back, shuchayev, that he is obligated, even though he can't watch it in such a good way." Amar lehen the sages said back, "Yatzim modim, but don't you agree that kilach hayada, if he carries it on the palm, on the back of his hand, or biraglo, if he carries it on his foot, shupati is exempt." You're saying that he's going to carry it in a money belt with the opening of the money belt on the bottom. That's not a normal way to carry. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ani amarti davar echad." I said something which you would agree to. "Ve'inam davar echad," and they said something which I would agree to. "Ani lo matzasi tshuva l'dvareihem." I don't have a great answer to reject their proof. "Ve'in lo matzasi tshuva l'dvarai," and they don't have a great answer to reject my proof. So now, mi dekamar luhu yatzim odim. Since Rabbi Yehuda said to the sages, "Don't you agree?" Lav Michlau the Patri Rabbanan. Doesn't that prove that the Rabbanan exempt? So the Gemara says, Litzamechna, according to your logic, Tekamri Le, this is the sage said to Rabbi Yehuda, Iatamode, don't you agree? Michlau de Machai Rabbi Yehuda, Achayodo Baraglo. That would imply that Rabbi Yehuda would obligate if somebody carries something on the palm of his hand, on the back of his hand, if he carries it on his foot. He would say you're obligated. Ella, rather, the point is like this. If he was trying to carry the money bag on his back, and he was in fact on his back, everybody agrees that he's obligated. If a person carries on the back of his hand, or on his foot, everybody agrees he's exempt. The key pligi, where is there an argument? Bipundaso, in a money wallet, with the opening down below. Mar midami le la'achrav. Rabbi Yehuda considers it like somebody who's carrying something behind him, ubalo la'achrav, and it still is behind him. This is what he wants. He wants to carry things in not such a secure way. So he's obligated. Umar Sarva, the other one holds. Mar midami le la'achrav yodav raglo. The other one says, no, this is an unusual way of carrying. And someone who's carrying in an unusual way is fully exempt. Finally, we went to the Mishnah, Be'emes Amru. They said about a woman who's wearing an apron. She was trying to have the apron in the front. The apron turned to the back. She's still obligated. Says the Gemara, Be'emes. Tanu Hundin Abraisa, call Be'emes. Remember, it says Be'emes. It's saying halachi, that's the law, and nobody argues with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Makabli Pitkin. Rabbi Yehuda says the same is true with the letter carriers. Tanu Hundin Abraisa. Shekain Lavlerei Malchus. This is true about the scribes of the king. Osin Kain. That's what they do. That if they want to give it to one person, and if they don't have him available, they'll give it to somebody else. So the same thing is true that if it, you know, he wanted to carry the letter bag in one way, it ended up going on the other way. It's all right. They're not so makbid. And since they're not so makbid, that is considered carrying, and a person would be chayev. Okay, Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow with Tzav Tzadi Gimel. The theme of Daf Tzadi Gimel is a very important topic. And that is the topic of Shnayim Sha'asa'uha. What is the law when two people do something that really only need one person to do? Are they obligated or are they exempt? Everyone should have a wonderful week. Shavua Tov, thank you.